All right, grab a chair. We're going to tell some tales of what happens behind the kitchen doors with a man who's been wandering those halls for many a year, Chef Pascal, behind the kitchen doors. Today we're going to go way behind the... You're going to tell me that chefs can be heroes today. I don't know if I buy that.
We are going to be way behind.
Way behind, okay.
And being on the top two of the kitchen door, we have a Chef Robert Duval joining us today. Chef Robert Duval came on the show about a year ago.
When he was doing some heroic work here.
He did. And he rallied many chefs from Orange County to bring food to people in need after the Los Angeles fires. And, you know, he's
Server meals.
He's going to talk about it, you know.
He even got you to go.
Yeah.
That was pretty hard.
No.
Leave your comfort castle, on top of the hill somewhere here?
No, he called me like at 7 a.m. and said, can you help? We need to go and do that. Said, of course, yes, let's do it. And that's what we are. We are a chef. We are. We want to make people happy. And a good meal can save some spirits.
Yes.
What is it about? I think we talked about this at that time. When a tragedy strikes, the first thing your neighbors do is bring you food.
Bring you food. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And, you know, even when they move next door,
Then
they try to make sure they're going to be a good neighbor.
Something so, warming, comforting, you know.
Chef Robert, that's the way we talk to each other. Chef Robert,
you call me Chef Paul here.
Because you're not a chef, right? You're a producer.
Producer Paul. All right, I'll take
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. So
he won some awards, you're telling me, for doing all this good stuff here? It wasn't
But first, business-wise, you have a great catering company on more. Can you tell us everything you do?
Duval's Dishes Catering? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's the name of the catering company again? I couldn't understand through his French accent.
Duval's Dishes.
Duval's Dishes. And it's spelled just like the actor, Robert Duval, with two L's?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, we'd learned something we didn't learn before. I kiddingly said, so you're just like Robert Duval, the famous actor? He said, well, my dad's favorite movie was Lonesome Dove, or that series, TV series on, what was it, a TV series or something?
Yeah, TV series.
And I said, is that why your dad named you Robert Duval? Is that just a coincidence?
He says,
I don't think it's a coincidence.
He'll never tell me.
Because your dad was, I learned this today too, was the mayor of Yorba Linda.
Yep, and a state assemblyman for 12 years, 72nd district.
How about that? So we got royalty in the room here today.
I have my catering company. This is my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Company based out of Huntington Beach. We do corporate events, private events, weddings. We do it all. Yeah, I just got bar service this year, so we're full service catering now. Yeah.
And you have another job too, a daytime job, no?
I got a daytime job. I work at the Pendry Newport Beach as well.
The Pendry, okay. Yeah. There's a nice no-name hotel here.
The catering kitchen, the events.
Pretty big.
I do banquets,
deal.
And I also train to become sous chef at Set and Steak Sushi.
Oh, wonderful. Pendry, we had an interview with Chef.
Chef Ben is awesome. He helped 500 meals for one weekend for the fire. So
amazing.
They're amazing.
And what blew me away about when Chef Ben was here is the size and scope of that operation. You're not just running multiple restaurants or overseeing multiple restaurants on the property, of which there are many, but you've got a bar and a happy hour. You've got catering. People want room service. You got catering for 400.
Poolside restaurant, poolside bar.
And
a private club.
And a private club, right.
And in-room dining. So there's 7 different outlets at the Pendry Hotel that he takes care of. Yeah. He's got a lot of
And I never thought of it. You think of a hotel, okay, so they've got, what, a bar or a restaurant, but you don't think of the complexity of that operation.
The Pendry is a one-stop place.
One-stop place.
If you want to spend a few days outside of your own comfort.
So again, I keep saying, why don't you take me there? You know all these big shots there. I want to go in. I want to, you know, sample and taste and do this.
Okay. All right.
He says that
I don't promise it, but maybe.
Maybe.
You guys let me know. I'll get you the table.
Oh, now, yeah. Yeah, now we have a new connection.
All right, good.
So we go through the back door.
I want to leverage some of these interviews here. All right, so catering. Well, the other question I got to say is, when Chef Pascal said, I'm going to come and do a show and talk about what happens in developing restaurants and themes and highlight ones he likes and talk about the business of running a restaurant, because this is mostly a business channel, I thought that's all we'd talk to is somebody who has a restaurant, maybe hotels. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
He's brought in more and more caterers or people that do private chefs or people that do pop-up things. I never think of that world. Is that the new unexplored frontier?
That's a good question and good subject, because we can ask Chef Duval, have you ever think of being your own restaurant?
Yeah, Duval's restaurant.
That's my goal in 5 years.
Okay, all right.
Because many of the people who brings still, in say, no, I don't want the burden and be tied to one place.
That's what I'm thinking about still. I don't want to be in charge of 100 people. The overhead is so expensive on a restaurant and brick and mortar. It's just too much.
And that's not because catering is easier, because catering is so complicated, because you have to listen to the demand of your clients.
Right.
And it's not like you...
I think a restaurant would be easier than catering, because it's a set menu. They know what to walk into. Catering, it's difficult.
No.
You have to go to the client's needs, client's wants, client's everything. And every event's different.
This is why Chef Duval did very well on the food delivery in Los Angeles. He's good at logistics.
Yes, you have to be for catering.
And
I got to get 400 things here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, it was more like thousands.
Well, I'm just saying, but you know, I got to get a bunch of stuff here now.
Oh, the hardest part about that endeavor was having 55 volunteers every weekend that didn't know any kitchen experience, and I had to go tell them each one what to do.
There was one.
Maybe a handful. But,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It was a headache trying to teach people how to, like, remember those kids that cut their fingers peeling potatoes?
Yeah, I know.
That would be me.
Yeah. They were using peelers, and they sliced their fingers off. Okay, you're off potatoes. You're washing vegetables now.
Yes.
One time, I know this show isn't about me, but one time I was trying to prepare for somebody who was coming over. I think my aunt was coming into town or something here. And so my wife said, go cut the carrots and stuff. So I took a knife. I took the whole top of my thumb off there. And now we're running to the emergency, and we got a party coming over and everything, and it won't stop bleeding because I took the whole thumb off.
So now you buy frozen fries.
I don't. She won't let me anywhere near the knives or the kitchen or anything. There.
So going back to the Red Cross, I remember we did a delivery in Pasadena at the Red Cross. Was that a
logistics facility or something?
No, it was a place where the risk used on. And,
was that the Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl.
All right. Yeah. Bowl, and how many people were you serving at the Rose Bowl on average?
2,000 people a weekend.
Yeah. 2,000 people. Yeah. That's not running a restaurant.
Three weekends in a row.
And then that's for the Red Cross. Then we did the LA Missions.
Yeah.
Both of those.
And then we did LA Mission. And LA Mission was a big delivery as well. And then we did on the course at the...
Oh, we did the actual first responders and in the military. We fed them, too.
Serving them.
Yeah.
So talk me through the logistics. I assume, is Cisco still the big player or whoever?
Good sponsors.
So I'm talking about the people, the purveyors that bring a truckload of something somewhere here.
No, there was nobody doing that. It was me going to the warehouses, picking it up on my days.
He woke overnight.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I was
so
mad at him.
You're the service provider. You go, they'll give it to you, but you got to go get it.
Pick it up. Go to Ontario, go to Eastvale, go pick everything up. I was driving.
So you must have a truck, right?
No, I had a little SUV, and I was just going back and
forth. For thousands of meals?
Yes.
No. The meals, help us,
Antis Roofing.
Charles Antis.
Transportation.
So we had a bunch of volunteers, but they had the vans to deliver the food to the site. But me getting the product to make the meals was all on me.
Wow.
And we use a community, a large production kitchen in...
The Hood Kitchen in Costa Mesa let us use the kitchen for
Shout out to
months.
Them. Yeah, we've had, I think we had them on once before.
Because...
Yeah.
the owner lost her house in the fires as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So nice. I told her what I was doing. She's like, oh my gosh, here's my kitchen. Use it for as long as you need. And yeah.
So there's two things that about the reward you get. First, we recognize Chef Duval at the table 410.
Which is the next one's upcoming when? Let's give a plug for it.
March 1st.
March 1st. Where, right. Where and when and how? Give us the whole details.
You know the details.
My table for 10.
I'm just going there and cooking.
But also...
tell us what table to 10, while you're looking it up, remind us what table to 10 is. You have 10 tables, and a chef cooks for 10 people.
Yes.
No, we have 65 tables year. But each chef gets a table for 10, of 10 individuals, and we cook for them 5 to 6-course meal. And
is it a fixed thing? You just here it is.
It's a preset menu. Every chef gets to pick whatever they want to cook.
Yeah, we usually we ask the chef to do like a 5-course meal.
But every table gets his 5-course meal.
Yeah,
the chef.
Personal chef's meal.
Yeah, and because they want to focus on their own restaurant to kind of advertise.
And so people pay big money. The 10 people sitting there pay big money which goes towards what? It's all for a chair.
It goes to actually to the Saddleback. My culinary
scholarship program.
Exactly.
That Pascal.
Kids that want to study to be chefs at the new Saddleback Culinary Institute.
So every year we have money to give to.
Because not every kid can afford to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Can pay to go.
And so. And,
so you had 65 tables of 10 people? That's 65 chefs you had?
Yeah, about logistics. There's a lot there, you know, because we cook mostly table side.
Yeah, on the table side, we have little burners and little stoves, everything. So it's all right for the guests. God.
We pack the house.
And
you know?
And 65 big egos. You got 65 chefs screaming.
No,
where is my?
No. The only one who have ego is me.
Oh,
and because
this community, we're all there to help each other out. We don't want to
get that.
There's no animosity towards the other chef.
I didn't expect that. I thought there'd be a lot of competition and jealousy.
That's just TV.
So the furniture is Pascal.
That's TV,
yeah. It's Pascal's culinary art scholarship, okay?
Pascal's culinary arts scholarship.
Yeah, at Saddleback College.
Saddleback College, which if you haven't looked it up, go look up is it the Culinary Training Institute? What do they call it?
No, we have a new independent building.
Brand new facility.
Facility.
Oh, I went over there when it opened. But what's it called? I'm trying to remember.
It's like ATAP.
ATAP, which is...
ATAP is in the district area next to the
it's where the Tustin
hangar.
The hangar that's where. So they got part of the land there, and they built two giant schools.
One for automotive and one for
culinary.
And it's amazing.
And one is run by Saddleback College, and one is run by Irvine College, which are both part of the South County Community College District.
I guess so, yeah.
That's what it is. I'm just trying to tell. So if you go to South County Community College District, you'll see this giant campus they built with two brand new state-of-the-art buildings.
I saw the automotive
buildings.
Also packed up.
You're one of the teachers there. And so kids come in and say, I want to go study, but I don't have the money. You raise funds for a scholarship so you can send kids there.
And I teach French cuisine.
Nobody wants French cuisine anymore. That's out.
Can we go to another studio?
My cuisine is French-Korean. So.
I laugh because you've talked before about the basics about beer blanc or sauteing or whatever. I mean, does that still apply to Korean food and everything else there?
Oh, yes, it does. These are different names.
Different names for the same kind of things you're doing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the basic training of culinary arts, which for so many generations has been thought of as French, who kind of came up with the idea of fine dining and process to get there.
Well,
the French were the first ones
to
take over the world and show everybody the world their culinary.
That really was it.
That wasn't
the Irish. We're just home drinking here.
But you know, we teach the Irish to make a good stew. You know?
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yes.
It's about the only thing we make good in Ireland. No, they make some good stew.
So the event, the table for 10, the number 10, is going to be at the Irvine Marriott.
The Irvine Marriott,
yes.
Okay. And how do they get tickets and how much do they cost?
Well, we will post it on, but you go to table410.com.
Okay. Oh, it has its own website.
Yes, own website. and you have to book now. If you can't come,
it was sold out the last time. I tried to come at the last minute. You said, "So sorry."
You know,
sorry, Charlie.
I have a solution for you.
Yeah.
If you want to be very nice, we're taking donations.
Ah. So. Can a corporation buy a table for their employees
yes.
and say, "I want to"?
Yeah.
That would be a good cause. Here, we'll buy a table and mm-hmm. we'll have 10 people come.
Yeah. Yes.
And
there's all. If you go to the website, there's all kind of.
So it's a four or five course meal, something that you cook?
Five course meal. There's a reception ahead of it.
With like booze and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Appetizer bites,
we
booze,
have amazing
wine,
vendors,
beer.
Liquor purveyors, and we have a bartender.
So this is quite a culinary event here. This is you don't just get a cheap little meal and some chicken.
You
and,
can have a memorable day there.
Wow.
It's very special.
Okay.
Yes. So you have your own private chef at the table.
Your own private chef at your table is going to cook table side for 10 people here.
Yeah.
What a cool thing. It's got to be, what, $1 million a seat?
$500 to $1,000 a seat.
Yeah.
Starting at $1,000 a seat.
If you want to give more, we take more.
We take more, okay.
Yeah.
$500 is nothing in today's culinary world. People are paying that to sit at some of the fancier restaurants around here.
Yeah, like at Pendry.
So it's really,
like at the Pendry.
So
I didn't want to pull them out.
Remember, March 1st, and it's from 5 to 9:30. So,
to about 11:30, because there's an after party and stuff.
Yeah, the party keeps rolling. Come on.
It's a good time.
Let me give you a few names there. The honorary chef, we came here. It's a chef, Carl St. John, okay? And
from where? You got
the ranch, Laguna Beach.
Okay. Ranch.
And the old chef, of course.
You got to bring your mic down a little bit. As you're looking down, just lower your mic a little bit there. So.
Okay. All right. And then I can't tell you the cocktail reception is too long. There's a lot.
All the liquor providers.
Liquor and wines.
You know lots of liquor providers. I don't know why.
Hey, you know, I keep you going. You know. No, it connects us, you know. Restaurant business doesn't really work without liquor.
It really doesn't. I'm kidding. You're absolutely correct. Can you run just a restaurant, certainly with just beer and wine,
yeah.
or do you really need to have full liquor service these
to,
days?
To a point when we had more breakdown of checkpoints, and that, the restaurant business went down. So now we have Uber, so it saves the restaurant business a lot.
You're talking about the alcohol checkpoints and stuff for cops.
Exactly. So, but I'll give you a few names, and we have a Backstage Affair, Chef Morgan. We have a Butterfight, Alan Ramirez, Chef Alan Ramirez. He's going to be in the show next week, actually.
Okay.
Chucky.
Yeah, cool guy. And then we have a California Dining, we have a Catered Course, we have a Crustacean from Beverly Hills, we have Duval Dishes, we have...
That's the one I'm going to sit at that table.
Table's already bought.
Table's already bought. See? I got it too late.
Maybe you come as a volunteer.
Yeah, I can volunteer.
And so...
I'll chop the carrots.
So
no, you're not.
Top my finger.
We have the restaurants from the Paseo Resort, where we had events before at Scoloria. And Pacific Pearl, who just opened a new place at the Met in
Chef Michael.
Yeah, Chef Michael.
Go to the website, Lassum, because you're telling me you had 65 chefs at 65 tables filled
top
with 10 people.
Top caterers in Orange County.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
this should be front page news.
More and more. You know. Tableau, kitchen, and bar. You know.
Every week we'll tease a few.
That sounds good.
As new ones come on. All right, so, but we're here to tease his work. We went down a rabbit hole. You're telling me this guy won awards for all this volume. You didn't send into it to get an award, but he got some awards, and that's why he's here today.
Well, the first award he got was the Red Cross Award. Go ahead.
Superhero Red Cross Award.
Superhero. And
how super cool is that to be recognized by the Red Cross for this effort? They didn't ask you. You came to them and said, can I help?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And suddenly you went to other chefs like Pascal and said, please help. And then you went to vendors, said, please donate. And then you ran around, picked up the food, and took it there and served thousands of people.
One of the reasons this happened, too, because the chef, the Lisa, started to talk about
it. I posted out to all the chefs on table for 10, and they all reached out. So
see, just like that.
We're
a big family.
We're a group. You're very tight. And so
you say that all the time, and I really believe it. I think you guys turn out to help each other. If a chef gets in trouble or needs a fundraiser or there's a personal
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know any place in the country where such a tight culinary community.
Because you would
Orange
think...
Orange County, we're tight here.
I watch...
Yeah. LA, everybody don't like each other.
We all watch these TV shows, Top Chef and stuff.
You know how it is.
And it seems very competitive. It doesn't seem like they're cooperative. It seems like they're out to... if the TV shows are right, the chefs are very
cocky.
Yeah, there you go. They're cocky.
Stuck up.
That's why I don't like those
TV
shows.
Conceited. We know it all. Blah blah blah. That's just TV. No, that's reality TV.
It's like fake fights.
Yeah,
fake fights. Yeah,
it's all scripted.
So then, if I went out and asked those group of people in my community to come together, you think they'd all be fighting again or competing again or say no?
No, actually, it's better to be all together and then feel that we are in a competition. So, I mean, if you're in a competition, you can't perform. You know, So I think that's why we understood in Orange County that unity and community.
And no questions asked. People just dropped, said, here's my kitchen. You can cook here. Here's some stuff we'll give you. If you can pick it up, I'll get it here. Here's some other people that brought the trucks. The Charles Antis of Antis Roofing certainly has tons of trucks. Wing Lamb of Yahoo Fish Tacos. Mm-hmm. All these people just jumped in and said, we're in. That's count it. Us.
Yeah.
And together you fed thousands of people who were at the lowest point in their life.
So that event with the Red Cross was a big event. They had a first night and a second night with a gala evening. And because... He was not sure he was going to get the award because there was a few people, you know, they were
nominated.
So it's like the Academy Award.
Sure.
You got a nomination.
But I suspect.
And the winner is.
But I suspect that wasn't even on his mind when he pulled this thing together.
No.
Oh, no. I just wanted to serve 100 meals.
Yeah.
100 meals, right.
That's all it started was a Facebook post. I got 100 meals. Who wants to match me? My chef community.
Yeah.
And then, bam, the next day it was 1,000 meals and then 10,000 meals and 20,000 meals.
Wow.
So,
some other awards followed that then?
Yes.
Yeah. American Revolutionary.
American Revolutionary.
Now, what does the American Revolutionary group have to do with any of this stuff here? Just patriotism?
Patriotism, and
community?
I fed the first responders. I just...
Oh, that's right, because you fed the you not only fed the people impacted, you fed the first responders who were...
Directly, by hand.
Are you getting a good citizen award or something?
I got a placard.
Yeah.
And then I just got an award from the Mission Project in Malibu this last month for another Heroes Award.
Well, congratulations. So people recognized what you did and then wanted to honor it.
Yeah. I got the award on the news. So.
From that,
KTLA.
Channel 5, he was there. The goods.
And now he's on OC Talk Radio. He's gone up. He's going up.
This is where I started.
It started. Right? Can't forget your friends when you get to the big time here.
It was very nice.
I'm always touched when people respond to people who reach out and do good things. Because I know they didn't set out to get attention. That wasn't their intent. Their intent was to help. And then it grows into something big. They should be recognized, and there should be a recognition for that. Because maybe it would encourage other people to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just a good thing.
So
we need more good citizens.
Let's put back your feet in the kitchen. What's your type of cuisine?
French cuisine. French Korean.
Which is what? I can't picture any of those two combined together.
It's
Korean barbecue, and that's about all I know about Korean food.
But this is not cooking. The kitchen doesn't do anything.
Korean flares with French techniques. You got to...
Give me an example. I can't picture that.
So I did a Wagyu dumpling.
Which is what? I don't even know what that is.
It's a pot sticker. It's a... ground meat, some vegetables, some herbs, spices, wrapped in a wonton shell.
Okay.
You fry it up, or you saute it up, And then I did a wasabi foam.
So a wasabi foam.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me here. Wasabi is the...
horseradish.
Horseradish.
Japan, basically. And then you just add it to some cream, and you add some lectin, and you foam it up, and you put it on top of the dumpling, a little soy glaze.
How cool. All right.
Korean with French techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You make it sound so obvious. It doesn't seem obvious to me.
Well, yeah. you got to have the equipment, but also his imagination of combination of flavors and texture.
Oh, because French is a lot of herbaceous and like earthy foods, and Korean is more like sweet and more meaty and beefy and like umaminess. So you got to put them together, earthy and umaminess. So it's hard to put them together, but when they do come together, they're
I cook Korean at home.
Oh yeah,
don't cook Korean at home.
Yes, I made him dinner when he was going through all his
health stuff.
Chemo and stuff. Yeah. I dropped off dinner for him.
Thank you for that. Yes. And so,
what do you know about Korean food? You don't know.
I go to the Korean market and I start to try something I don't know.
So when you were apprenticing and studying, or whatever you want to call it, with famous French chefs, Paul Bocuse is the most famous one. Go look him up. I mean, this is one of the heavyweights, but this is French traditional style. Bernays sauce. There's half a dozen sauces you
classic,
can learn. Classic sauces. If you'd said, "Hey, can we throw a little Korean influence in there?" He would have slapped you in the face.
Actually, you not too far from that, because he has a restaurant in Japan.
He does, okay.
And Kyoto, and even opened a cooking school there, Paul Bocuse cooking school.
So he wouldn't have laughed at you if you'd said, "Someday I want to do fusion, I want to fuse things
you
together."
You could have seen on the menu, we start to, at one point, start more of a raw, thin filet of fish, marinated, so very Asian.
Well, Vietnamese cuisine is half French and half...
Clearly, I can see the combination there.
Yeah. So...
So it was a French colony.
So any chef that travels gets some influence.
That's the best part of being a chef, trying all the food all over the world. But you may hate it, you may love it.
But my perception of French, particularly French cuisine, is that it's very rigid. This is the way we do things. This is the approach. These are the sauces. These are the basics. This is
foundation, the basement, and then you build on it. So I'm a client, I want to have a catering with you. Do they approach you and say, "I want American cuisine," or "I want French," or "I want your cuisine,"
or "I want your recommendation"?
Yes.
I like, for weddings, I like to say, what was your first meal together? I like to create their first meal for their wedding.
Clever.
That's my
what if it was a burger joint, or what if it was pizza?
So I did that. So we did tuna tacos. We did a gourmet burger for a wedding one time, because that's their first meal. So we created their first meals. One wedding had brunch. They were brunch for so we had brunch for dinner at their wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Good.
But then if it's a high, like other clients, they just say, go on the website, pick what you want. If you want me to do a custom menu, we could do a custom menu and taste. Like, just pick what you like.
Yeah.
Wonderful. But do people ever trust your taste and say,
a lot of them do. Just give me a menu, chef, and just go for it.
Yeah.
As long as it looks good, I know it's going to taste good.
But usually for a wedding, there's always some testing lunch. Or
that's how I sell the weddings. Like, what was your first meal together? What was your first date meal?
For wedding, it's the most complicated catering you can do, because you have to please the mother-in-law, the
bridezilla,
multi-generations,
and the groom. Everybody has his own opinion. No?
And according to least watch the wedding shows, everybody's on edge. Everybody wants to be absolutely perfect and memorable. And what is this silly soup that you have?
You cannot
here?
Say, "Leave us alone, we take care of you." It doesn't work.
No, not the wedding.
Weddings are something else. Well, I love them.
So, but you know, it's challenging, and chef love challenge.
Yeah.
What is the largest party you ever done?
3,500 people.
3,500 people. Wow.
Yeah.
3,500 taste buds. 3,500 experiences. 3,500 expectations.
I had 12 different stations, and we did a taste around the world. So
what a cool thing. That makes sense. Yeah, you got something for everybody.
Yeah.
It was, whew, that was a big one.
And the French station was the most popular.
Well, nobody likes French food anymore. That's
he
not.
Made steak tartare there.
Yeah, right.
It sounds so good right
I
now.
I don't see, I say that kidding that everybody's going to scream at me, but I don't see classic French food. You did, what, beef bourguignon or something? Or
especially on my take-home dinners.
Right.
Because people at home, they want something comforting, especially during COVID. So beef bourguignon, cassoulet.
But I can't tell you the last time I tasted any of those dishes. Those were once common things to experience when you went out. Now it's a Korean fusion.
Yeah.
I can't go. I know there are places around, but fewer and fewer where I'm going to go get the classic French cuisine.
Yeah, yeah. But Korean can be very comforting, too. You can have some great noodle soup. So good. Some good
soups,
even the seafood dumplings. Soup. You know, it's like a bouillabaisse. It's so tasty. And
why do so many Asian cuisines, I'm thinking of Vietnamese pho, not pho, but pho, love soups? Is it just, it's a traditional staple in so many... Or ramen soup, or in Japanese culture, or whatever it is.
That came from poverty.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it that bluntly, but yeah, kind of, yeah.
All the soups came from poverty growing up. Like you got your beef stock in protein, you got your starches, you got your veggies all in one meal. That's all you eat that
and
day.
And water,
surviving.
Water and other products are fermented. I mean, you can keep them for a long time.
Yes.
They don't go bad. And it's good for you.
You mentioned the Irish, but the Irish are very poor. Irish stew is the only dish I know of that's really Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw in potato. You can throw in anything goes into it. Potatoes and vegetables and,
and
some
beef
some,
and
some good chicken. Lamb.
Lamb, there you go.
So,
so soup is a staple. My wife is a big soup person. She loves soups.
I love soup, too. And, the French make soup all the time. They usually eat soup every night.
Really?
And same thing in the 15th, 16th centuries, everybody had a soup hanging in the fireplace.
Always cooking, because you can throw everything together. It stays. It's staple.
As long as it's simmering, you're good.
Make his own stock on together. You have a chicken and vegetables on the fireplace in a big pot. You know. Mm-hmm. So
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go. New kitchen.
Okay. Give me some soup restaurants in Orange County. Where would I go get good soups? Any suggestions? Not just at a catering event.
I go to BCD Tofu House in Garden Grove, Kaja Tofu House. I go to...
Because you're dealing with tofu kind of soups.
Yeah. And if I want like beef, I go to Salantong. Salantong Restaurant in Garden Grove. A lot of them are in Garden Grove. That's like mini Koreatown for me.
Yeah.
If I want good pho, I go to Pho 79.
Pho 79, I've seen that one, yeah.
She got James Beard Award. She's
million, good. Million pho restaurants out there.
Yeah, Pho 54 is a classic. If you know from Orange County, Pho 54 is classic.
Yeah.
But if you wanted some other kind of beef stew or French, what kind of French, I don't even know.
Chateau Bordeaux is pretty good. They have a good beef French beef stew. Oh my goodness, it's a little bit. Oh, it's good. That sounds so bomb right now.
Is that a popular dish? I don't even think. I don't see that on menus. I don't go.
You know, my friend Daniel, Chef Daniel at Park Club, make great soup. He makes beautiful butternut squash
soup.
But
he's Asian too, so he comes from.
But he serves it with a little cheese soufflé in the middle of the bowl, and then put the soup on.
I'm just thinking of the 10 restaurants I visited over the last year, whatever they are, quickly running through my head. Soup was never something we ordered, or it wasn't even probably on the menu.
Yeah, it's taken out.
Well, except used to be you had a choice between soup and salad before your entree.
Exactly. Now it's just salad.
Yeah, yes.
That's my point. I don't see soups on the menu anymore, and yet it would seem to be cheap to make, and... We're back into comfort food, so it fits comfort food. It makes you warm and cozy and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And in Asian cuisines, yes. In modern American restaurants, I rarely see soup.
Well, the problem is that there's not much left of a mom-and-pop deli. You know?
That's true.
You know,
where they're mixing and matching and making
except Jewish delis still make good soup.
Matzo ball soup.
I love. And you have one in Tustin, make the best masa soup.
Which is that one? I don't even know.
I don't have the name right now in my head.
But okay, we put you on the spot.
It's on Newport Avenue in Tustin. It's unbelievable. The best New York deli, actually.
I think I know the one you're talking about. I have to think of the name of it here. All right, so what else have we got to cover? We got a couple minutes because I got to cut you off today again here because we got another show at 2 o'clock. What else? We won a bunch of awards. Chefs can be heroes. Okay, hooray. I didn't know this, but I say hooray for the work he did. It was great, and great it was recognized.
Fantastic. And make sure to look at the table for 10 and to help the future.
You could, but I can't get it on his table. His table's sold out.
Well, you know.
Can you do two tables? Can you go back and forth?
Not doing two tables. That's crazy.
You know more than one chef, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask me?
So when I go to the sign up, do I pick the table I want to go to, or are you just assign me
to
it?
You can, but...
I don't know how that works. I'm in the back.
You ask me.
You ask me, which one should I go to?
And then we may do... We bring the podcast there, too, no?
Do you have specialty tables? That's always my problem. My wife couldn't go last time because she has all these dietary restrictions.
No, we do all that. We got all the restrictions before we
You know, she can't have no dairy. She'll do fish, but she won't do meat.
If we let the chef know, they will make adjustments.
Yeah, we do everything.
Because I would think at the table, it's kind of, we're only making this thing here. I'm sorry, we're doing a beef something here, and if you're a vegetarian, don't sit at my table.
Well, you always have to... on your back of the mind, have a gluten-free, vegan, and a vegetarian dish ready to be
always.
Okay.
Always have to.
Yeah.
Add non-dairy to the list. I'm shocked how hard it is to get non-dairy anything. She's highly allergic to dairy. Yeah. And dairy is in so much stuff. French cooking. Oh, my goodness. Dairy is everything filled with French cooking.
The butter.
Yeah, she can't have any of that stuff here.
Oh, my gosh. I can't live without butter.
Yeah, right. She lives without butter and chocolate. She's also allergic to chocolate. So we go to all these places. And they put butter, milk, chocolate, all these things. So many of the great things. And cheese, butter, milk, chocolate. We've just taken away half of French cooking here.
Are you still eat at home?
Yeah. I eat very poorly at home and very plainly at home. Yeah. We eat cardboard. That's all we have. And tofu. All right. Thank you for joining us here today. How do they reach you if they want to find out more about Duval's Catering? Because they want to take advantage of this. What is it?
Duvalsdishes.com.
Duval's Dishes with two L's.
Yes,
not one. Just like the Robert Duval. Two L's, Duvalsdishes.com. And if they want to find out more about Chef Pascal, where do they find you?
PascalCuisine.com.
Mescal Cuisine. And if they want to sign up for Table for 10, just go to that site,
tableforten.com.
And tune in each and every week as we will sample, we'll dole out a few more chefs as they sign up. Totally. This extensive group of people here that you can go sample and taste from, all for a good cause. Right here.
And a big shout out to the whole entire Orange County chef and restaurant community.
Amen. We don't say enough about it, because my assumption is they're competitive, they're divas, they're cocky, they're not there to
If you come, you will see that we're happy to be there all together.
I see it at the event you take me to now, where they're all happy to be there, and they're really curious to taste each other's food and very supportive of each other, and not at all what I picture on the television shows.
And we help each other as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to help myself to a bunch of different... I'm going to sample. I'm going to go from table to table like a butterfly.
If you guys want some good buffalo wings, go to Playground HP this weekend.
Playground HP? We got a little plug-in.
Huntington Beach.
Oh, HB.
Downtown Main Street, Playground.
Oh, wow.
And what is the Playground? She's in here watching this, and we could give her a plug here. Give her a plug. Come on. Tell what is it?
The new mini golf downtown HP. Full bar, full arcade.
Full bar for mini golf?
Yeah.
Come on, mini golf is supposed to be just for little kids. It's for the parents, too, here?
Parents and...
Apparently.
Dates.
And dates.
The parents are at the
bar.
Club.
And they also have a speakeasy in the back for the parents, too, to hide away.
They do have a speakeasy? Tell me about this real quick.
I've never actually been in there. It's always been sold out for private parties.
I see. Can we get into the speakeasy? Do we know anybody there? I love this whole speakeasy movement. The room in the back that holds, 10 people or 15 people or something like that? And they make special cocktails from the 20s and 30s and all that kind of stuff.
A golf simulator back there and everything.
A golf simulator. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah, you whack the ball, and then it goes into a like a
screen,
and then it tells you, oh, you went 400 yards or 200 yards, mm-hmm. not 400. You went 200 yards or something.
Yeah.
All right, and what's the? It's called the Playground.
Playground HB.
HB Playground HB, and they've got food, they got booze, and they got a speakeasy. All right,
good music.
Yep.
We'll have to. Do we know anybody that we'll have to have her on the show sometime here? She can talk about
there
it.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for joining us here today. All right. They're all jumping out, ready to go run, get some good wings. Wherever it is, it starts here behind the kitchen doors, right on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation.